We start this morning with the latest warnings on the H1N1 virus. Now, earlier on this week, a presidential panel warned that the virus could kill up to 90,000 Americans and send 300,000 people to the hospital. Joining us now to discuss what this means for hospitals and the public is one of the report's authors, Dr. Howard Varmus. Dr. Varmus is a co-chair for the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. Welcome back to you.
Thank you.
And also, good morning to Dr. Jeff Kalina. He's the Associate Director of Emergency Medicine with the Methodist Hospital in Houston. Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Varmus, welcome back again.
Thank you.
The figures out this week, 90,000, were alarming. How scared should we be?
Well, I think people should feel that there is a serious danger of the flu resurging, that is the new flu, a flu to which most people have not been exposed, at a level that could cause fairly widespread illness and death. And we know enough about this virus from its appearance here in the spring. We know enough about influenza from the appearance of many epidemics in the past to be able to make some general scenarios, not predictions, because flu is notorious producing something that may be different from what we think it's going to produce. But that kind of planning, which has to be based on numbers of people infected, the number with symptoms, the number who go to doctors, the number who go to hospitals or need intensive care units, and the number who might die, provides a way to think about how to mitigate, that how to soften the impact of an expected resurgence. And there are many ways, many tools available for trying to mitigate an infection of this kind. Vaccines, antiviral drugs, use of hospital facilities, especially intensive care units, and then social actions that can be taken by individuals and by government and other institutions.
Dr. Varmus?
Yes.
What was confusing me in the news this morning was the CDC said that the figure of 90,000 was really a gross overestimate. I don't want to get bogged down in an argument about numbers, but how helpful is that to what you're trying to do in terms of getting the message out?
Well, I think that's arguable. I don't think it is a gross overestimate. I think it's on the high side. But if you're going to do emergency planning, it's important to have to start with a scenario that has a range, and actually the range was up to 90,000. That was our high number. We bracketed the numbers from 30,000 to 90,000. Seasonal flu every year produces about 36,000 deaths in the U.S. So the 30,000 number may be conceived as on the conservative side, 90,000 on the higher side. But if you're going to do planning for an impending epidemic, you don't want to think about the remote possibilities, which would be 10 times higher, as might have occurred in 1918 when our population was smaller, but we had a very different kind of flu. And you want to be prepared for things that could be pose very difficult problems.
All right, well, you definitely got our attention with the 90,000 number. Dr. Jeff Kalina, you're the director of an emergency center at a hospital in Texas. What are you doing with that piece of information, that data, in terms of getting prepared?
Well, I also direct the disaster response for the entire Texas Medical Center, which is the largest medical center in the world. And we prepare on several levels. Not only do we expect each hospital to be able to come up with a plan to handle what we call a surge capacity, but we also kind of as a community want to have a community-wide and community plan, which we've had in place since October of 2006 for any kind of pandemic flu. Some of the things that hospitals can do, for example, would be to educate their staff, their faculty, their residents on good flu hygiene, getting the message out to folks about flu hygiene and the contacting their physician should they get sick.
Dr. Kalina, is there any chance that with a high number of 90,000 possible deaths from H1N1 virus all the way through this fall, is it possible that you could be absolutely swamped and can't cope with this swine flu?
Well, you know, these kind of surges are unlike a disaster. If God forbid we had an explosion at a stadium or something like that where you might have 10,000 people, swamp the medical center within minutes to hours. This kind of surge takes place over weeks and months, and certainly over our flu season, we did notice a bump in our volume, and we will see an increase in our volume. But since this surge is spread out over months, it's something that the hospital we make contingency plans for to expect that extra volume.
But that's the mathematical issue that troubles me, though. And let me just get a quick takeaway from Dr. Varmus. I mean, on the one hand, I can imagine a town of 90,000 dropping dead in an hour. That's pretty horrific. But if I divide, 90,000 by the entire population of the United States, close to 300 million. It seems like a really positive number. My chance of getting killed or hurt by the flu is remote.
That's true. And that is not remote, but it's certainly very small. What we emphasize in the report is there are a number of identified risk groups, people under the age of four, people with asthma, other respiratory diseases, pregnant women in the late stages of pregnancy who are particularly high risk. And we agree this is going to be over a period of time. Nevertheless, intensive care units in particular tend to operate nearly at capacity. Dr. Kalima is right. He sounds like he's got preparedness on his mind, and that's very good. But flu doesn't appear at equal frequencies throughout the country. There may be communities in which there are little bursts of very sick people, as many as 8 or 10 or 15, can severely stress a hospital's intensive care unit. And we're not predicting something that would be like Katrina, focused on just a few days of activity, but given the scarcity of certain kinds of equipment, particularly pediatric respirators, there could be a severe need to do things like share equipment among hospitals, be prepared to bring in equipment from other areas of the country.
Dr. Howard Varmus, I'm going to leave it there. We'll revisit you as we head further into the swine flu season. Thank you very much, Dr. Howard Varmus. He's the co-chair of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology and also the president of the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And also thank you to Dr. Jeff Kalina. He's the Associate Director of Emergency Medicine with the Methodist Hospital in Houston. John.
That's really interesting stuff. The shortage of equipment could be a bottleneck. So even a small burst in a small community could be devastating for an emergency room.
So the thing is, be prepared.
Yes, indeed.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.